When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the United Steelworkers, and with great sponsors like S&R Remodeling, Madison Computer Works, and AMS. All right, we've got an election coming up on Tuesday, February 21st, and there's actually primaries, and there's great reasons to go to the polls, not only for state school superintendent, but for a couple seats on the Madison School Board. Joining us now, Nikki Vandermeulen. She is a candidate for Madison School Board seat 7, which is currently held by Ed Hughes. Nikki, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me, Sly. I'm a juvenile attorney, and I work with kids every day. And I kept starting to see the same kids over and over and over. And I believe kids belong in a classroom, not a courtroom. And I started to wonder, is there more that can be done? Can we increase restorative justice? And that's when I decided I should run for school board. I would love to reduce suspensions and expulsions and just make a better school for the Madison students.
What was your take on the whole debate about having community police officers in high schools?
It's a sad reality that we need police in high schools, but my issue will always be training. If we're going to have officers at the schools, they need to be trained to understand not just special ed, which is not happening currently, but also different cultures, different backgrounds, different people. Currently at MMSD, they don't always share the behavior education plan with the school officers. That's not safe for the officer. That's not safe for the student. And I think additional training would make it so that way our students' rights are protected, our teachers' safety is protected, and that we could just have a better community as a whole.
What's the sort of pattern of behavior that you've seen that you think that could be taken care of with restorative justice as opposed to expulsion or criminal charges?
A lot of it would be, I see a lot of disorderly conduct and minor property or minor assault, i.e. boyfriend gets in an argument with his girlfriend and says, "I hate you," and threatens her, but not a death threat. That's not a disorderly conduct misdemeanor, and it shouldn't be. That should be a detention, a ticket, or even through the restorative justice. Also on restorative justice, we're talking minor possession charges. I am not pro-drug, please don't get me wrong, but a first offense, marijuana, should not be necessarily grounds for expulsion. That should be used as a teaching tool to say this is why it shouldn't be there.
Are you telling me that a student can be expelled for bringing marijuana into his locker?
Yes.
Wow. I had no idea. That is...
And it's kind of scary.
And does that happen on a regular basis?
Not as much anymore. It used to more often under zero tolerance. Now we're starting to understand through the behavior education plan. What's getting better is we're starting to realize you cannot criminalize everything. And having a small amount of marijuana is not the same thing as having a gun. But for a long time, the expulsion standard was any drugs or weapons was immediate grounds for expulsion. That luckily has changed, thankfully. However, we're still suspending 61% of our black males and 35% of our disabled students.
What was the statistic on that again?
61% of our black males, 35% of the disabled, and that was the 2014-2015 numbers. And that's with the behavior education plan.
61% of African-American males suspended at one point, what, throughout their entire school process or per year? Is it?
It's through the school process, but It's still huge.
That is huge.
they only make up 18% of the school population.
Right, right. And what? And when you say disabled, what do you mean by disabled?
Yes. I count individuals with special needs as those who have an IEP, Individualized Education Plan, and are recognized by the school as having specific disabilities, whether they be learning, breathing, walking, and the traditional categories as stated under the IDEA, which is the Individual Disability Education Act of 1973.
What would your remedy be for bringing those numbers down?
My remedy is the behavior education plan's a good start, but it needs teeth. Very simply, why can't we create a simple rubric where if student A breaks a window, we write down what the punishment is. Then if student B, under the same circumstances, breaks the same window or a different window, then the punishment should be the same. That takes a lot of subjectivity out of a lot of it. Then we're not worrying, well, is this racially motivated? Will race still be an issue? Unfortunately, yes. But that's one way to handle it. Another way is through the restorative justice. I like the CIRCLE program. I like being able to have peer courts. And I think that needs to be expanded.
Nikki Vandermeulen with us. She is a candidate for school board seat 7. Because you are running against an opponent who's the incumbent, and this does not happen all that frequently in Madison anymore, tell me why you think that Ed Hughes should be replaced.
Ed has done a good job, but Ed and I differ, and this is on some key areas. One, I believe that all students should have a right to an attorney during expulsion proceedings. He has stated that in his blog. He has stated that an attorney isn't always necessary. And in fact, because the facts are not in dispute, that kind of worries me as an attorney.
Sure.
As a
citizen that believes in due process, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you don't give up your rights. Baker versus Des Moines, you don't give up your rights at the schoolhouse door. These are children, but they are citizens, and they deserve to have rights of representation.
Okay. Where else do you disagree with him?
On the issue of open enrollment, we haven't done anything. We lose 1,000 students a year to open enrollment. We don't even do an exit interview on why they leave. And we've had 9 years that it's only gotten worse. The other issue that I have is his view on the achievement gap is slightly different than mine. I'd like to be a bit more expansive, not just on race, to also include individuals with disabilities and English language learners instead of just black and white.
How did you get interested in helping and working with kids with disabilities and Asperger's syndrome and cerebral palsy? How did you get into that? Seems like a specialized area of the law.
It is. I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at 3.5, autism at 3.5, attention deficit at 3.5. They told my parents that I belonged in a special school for the severely disabled and that educating me was a waste of time and a waste of money. I don't believe any child should be told that they are a waste. And so I learned real young that education was my way of getting out to show that I am capable, that I can make decisions, and that I can help other people. Then I started to look into juvenile law and realized we're trying to treat kids like mini adults. And kids aren't mini adults. They don't have the maturity level. They don't have, their brains aren't developed enough. Yet we're still putting them in the system like they're miniature criminals. And that really started to worry me. So I started getting involved doing what's called STEP work, that student expulsion project, defending kids who were going to be expelled. And I also worked a lot with special needs kids and also homeless children when I was in law school through a program called CAST.
My God, you know, I don't mean to be melodramatic here, Nikki, but... got to make a movie about your life. This is an incredible. This is an incredible story.
I've heard that actually quite a bit. I've been told I should write a book.
You should write a book. You should. That is just an amazing story that your perseverance got you to this point, and that is a. It's a beautiful thing. Are you telling me that you think there's a lot of kids in Madison Public Schools right now that we have not paid enough attention to as far as getting the most out of their potential?
Absolutely. And very simply, the teachers are doing the best they can. But we have extremely large class sizes. We have overwhelming administrative issues. But the main thing is, every school must do what's called child find under IDEA 1973. Child find means the school must actively look for individuals with disabilities to make sure their needs are being met. This isn't getting done as much as it needs to. I'm not saying we're failing our obligation, but we're not doing it as well as we could. And we can improve this by, right now, an IEP document or an individual education plan is a 50-page document. It requires the teachers to do multiple hours after school that they don't get paid for, and I think that needs to change. Additionally, the meetings tend to be 3, 4, 5 hours long. Again, that needs to be changed because it's normally after work. And we need to have the teachers play a more active role. For example, right now on an IEP team, you have the current teacher or the special ed teacher, and that's it. Why don't we have written statements from all the kids' teachers just saying what they do well instead of just focusing on what they don't? If you keep telling a child they're bad at everything, they start to believe it.
Let me ask you about what I've heard from a lot of teachers. As people are listening to this interview, I'm sure there's some people would say, well, is Nikki going to have the backs of teachers who are having a difficult time disciplining students? And you know, there was a big dust up on the policy over disciplining students a couple of years ago. I've had teachers tell me, that are in tears, that tell me that they're just broken down from the system. And they don't feel like that they have the respect from the students and the backing of the parents. What's your perspective on that?
One, we need to respect our teachers. They're everything. I talked to a teacher who retired from teaching because she had a desk thrown at her. That's not supposed to happen. And yes, there needs to be consequences for behavior. But we can't expel for every reason. Instead, we need to keep, I will have the teachers back and protect teacher safety. That includes, one, training the officers about disabilities. Two, making sure that there's a safe space for kids to go when they do have a meltdown. That way the other kids can learn. The teacher can teach without worrying about their safety. And the child is a place to calm down. I do not mean a time out or seclusion room. And the reason I make the difference is a seclusion room would be locked, and I do not believe in that whatsoever. But just a safe room they could go to calm down. Because sometimes you just got to leave.
What do you make of Governor Walker's threat to the Madison School District that they won't be eligible for about $16 million in his additional school funding, or giving some of the money back? I shouldn't say additional, because it's a pittance considering what he took away. Because of the way Madison has its compensation package structured for teachers.
It angers me incredibly. We are pitting teachers against students to try and go after Madison again. We've already taken so much from our teachers in Act 10. And this just seems like an additional slap in the face. We are compliant with the current parts of Act 10. And now they're changing the rules partway through the game, into forcing teachers into self-retirement programs instead of pensions. And what's worse, that they'd have to pay more of their own health insurance, as if they don't have enough of a burden as is. We have trouble attracting teachers, especially teachers of color, because our pay isn't up there. our benefits aren't up there, and now we're going to take more from them? I just don't feel it's right.
So this school board election comes up this Tuesday, right? There's a primary?
Yep.
Three people in your race, it'll get narrowed down to two.
Correct.
Anything you'd like to say to voters before we wrap this up today?
I just ask the voters for their support on February 21st, and just to thank them. I want a stronger public school to give a voice to every student, because when one student succeeds, we all succeed. And thank you again for having me.
Well, Nikki Vandermeulen, not only am I glad to have you on the show, I'm going to vote for you.
Thank you very much, Sly.
All right. Thanks for coming to SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.